Hello and welcome again to Ask Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Ask Mike Radio is co-produced with Sinister One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asak of Asak Real Estate and Danielle Rocco with Echo 6 Ranch, and my supporters, Caisson Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp, Be Your Strongest Combination. We are counting down to number 500, 10 years of Oscar Mike Radio. And I love how this show is progressing, where I talk to a guest and you're like, hey, I've got somebody else for you to talk to. And it becomes like this ripple effect. And today's guest is no exception. And we're going to be talking about eye care and glasses today, a first for Oscar Mike Radio. And so it's with great pleasure and honor that I introduce my next guest, Army veteran Sean Lucen with PDS Optical. Sean, welcome to Oscar Mike Radio.
Travis, it's an honor to be here. I know we had some trouble, you and I, with our schedules setting this up, so I'm really happy that we finally got on each other's schedules to do this, and I'm looking forward to a good conversation today.
Hey, we got a West Point guy and a Marine Corps Lance Corporal, Semper Gumby. We figured it out. We get it done,
and
now we're here, and it's really, really cool because I didn't – it just timing-wise, it worked out great, and you'll understand here later. You start off in the military, and I'd like to get an idea of what your story was like. So tell us a little bit about Sean and how you got into the Army and what that experience was like, please.
Yeah, great question. It's funny, like, so I grew up in a military family. My father was in the Army and served in Vietnam. And unfortunately, he lost his leg in Vietnam as serving in the 101st as a LERP. And so that, you know, I kind of grew up like in that mentality, like I, you know, grab his beret and stuff and like that he had and play Army and all that. And then, you know, as I got older, growing up in New Jersey, I would go to Army Navy or Army football games. And so I remember going up there, you know, either in eighth or ninth grade and looking around at the campus at West Point. I don't know if have you ever been to West Point,
I have
Travis?
not, no.
It's an impressive place, you know, just the history of it, the you know, the buildings, the statues, everything. So I'm like, you know, a young whatever, and I'm looking around, I'm like, this is impressive. What is this place? And so, you know, started looking into it a little bit more. And then this was in my freshman year of high school. I remember talking to my freshman year guidance counselor saying, you know, hey, you know, where do you want to go to school? It was a question to me. And I said, I'm looking at West Point. And he saw my grades and they were not off to a good start through the first semester. So I kind of took that as a challenge to kind of, you know, self-correct, and then got into West Point and so started there in 98 and then graduated in 2002. You know, so during that time frame, you know, our country was attacked. We went to war commissioned as an infantry officer out of West Point there, did time down in Benning with, you know, the school's basic course, or the officer course, Ranger school, airborne school, all those fun things. And then was stationed out in Fort Wainwright, Alaska. So that was, pretty.
What was that
pretty,
like?
That was interesting. So, you know, it's like the, you get there in the summer. So that's when I showed up, and it's, you know, 24 hours basically of sunlight. So, so it's very interesting, a different experience there. And then the inverse in the winter, super cold, you know, I remember being like 56 below at one point, that's without wind chill. Like you see like on the banks, like the sign, like the temperature, how cold it is. And then it's super dark there too. So, served in Alaska as an infantry platoon leader, deployed to Iraq, went into Mosul, Iraq there in the 2005, 2006 timeframe, while the Iraqis were voting on their constitution. So, did our, my tour there, and then, came back kind of early, tried out for special forces assessment selection. And then, you know, 'cause I was kind of at a decision point in my career in the military. Do I make a full career out of this, or do I, you know, get out after my, 5-year commitment? And so, I did the special forces. I did the hard part. I got selected and, you know, got my butt kicked for that 3 weeks.
Wow.
But then ended up declining it and getting out. And then, so, I look back fondly on my military time. So it was, it feels like a million years ago at this point. I'm sure it probably feels the same way for you. But a lot of the military time really shaped kind of my leadership abilities, my character, and anytime anybody asks me about, if their child or whatever should look into the military, I'm a strong advocate there too. So that's kind of my background on military.
I'm always curious then how the transition out of the military was for you because, some of us enlisted think officers get a stretched limo pulling up to the gate and there's a red carpet and all that stuff. And it's not, but, it's still kind of a mystery. And, everybody's story is different, but how was your transition out?
Yeah, that's it was difficult. I remember it being difficult just because when I got out, it was like 2007, and so I just came back from a deployment, and then you're in that mentality of like trying to stay plugged in, like what's going on over there, and it was really hard to kind of readjust back into the civilian life there. I remember being out looking around, like just looking at people, like never everybody doesn't know, really know what's going on, like out there, like what's going on overseas. But you adjust back into that mentality, and then I was trying to find a job, really, like trying to figure out what to do, and use a network of friends, family to kind of connect in. And then so I found a company I ended up working for, thankfully, for 15 years. It was a Fortune 500 insurance company called Unum. I worked there in sales and then sales leadership roles there, and had a great time. So I was fortunate in that I found a great company. But there was that
Yeah.
difficult kind of transition in the beginning, which I'm sure a lot of folks, it's just a different sort of mentality of like the people that you're working with in the military, and then stepping out into the civilian workforce there too. But
Fascinating, fascinating. So there are challenges and you got through them. You found a job, which is very important, and then you kind of made your way. And which gets us to this good part of, how in the world you go from being an infantry officer leading, infantry platoons in a company to insurance to optical services for veterans. Like, how does that happen, Sean?
Well, I think it's an obvious transition, right? No, I'm joking there.
You break it down Lance Corporal style, sir.
It's not at all. That's a fantastic question. So like the quick is, I was happy in my previous company with things there. So PDS, which I'm now the CEO of, was founded by my uncle, and I say uncle, but it's like my dad's best friend growing up from Brooklyn. So like it was Uncle Rich, but there's no blood, but like he's Uncle Rich. He's always been around for so Rich Murray, he started up PDS Consultants 25 years ago. And so what it was we would bid on government contracts, VA contracts for eyeglasses, making prescription eyeglasses. And then would subcontract them out to optical manufacturers and stuff like that. And then so it grew slowly. He didn't jump in and win a contract. It took some years for them to do that and build a name. But then when they did, when he did, it grew from one contract to two contracts. And then later down the line, my father stepped into the company to help there too. And then it kept growing, which was a good thing. And then in 2019, they instead of subcontracting out, they acquired the optical labs, which is what PDS is today. So now we do everything. We've got the optical labs where we manufacture the prescription eyeglasses in Louisville, Kentucky, which we're headquartered out of, and then also we have an optical lab in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, too. So this was 2019 when they made that acquisition, but then right around then, shortly after, they're getting into their 70s at that point, so they're looking like, hey, we should maybe look at succession planning.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
so I remember my dad, so back to your question of like how do you get into that, I remember my dad talking to me about this, and he's like, the company's doing well, and I never really knew like the magnitude of it too. Like he would talk to me about it, and I would kind of get glimpses of like what's going on at the company there too. And so He's like, hey, we'd like to maybe see if you'd step in and, be if you want to step in and take over maybe down the line. And I'm like, I don't really know much about eyeglasses. Like, I know how to lead and I know how to motivate and all those types of things. And, I've got an MBA, and so I've, so I know how to, I think, feel like I know how to run a business. But anyway, so I stepped in as a consultant while doing my other job behind just to kind of get a feel for the company. And then the more and more I got ingrained within PDS and just learned about our company, our mission, the things, the people that we have there, it was a no-brainer, really. Like, we've got a great operation. And so, unfortunately, my father, he got sick with COVID in 2021 and passed away. And so it's accelerated the timeline for me to step in. And so I've been in the role now as CEO for 3.5 years now. So that's kind of the roundabout way I got into this company here. And again, I'm extremely grateful for what I'm doing, for what, the people I'm leading. Like I mentioned, we've got a great operation, and more importantly, a good mission, which I remind my team about each and every day. Just explaining the why of what we're doing.
What is the why then? Just
Yeah,
clarify
it's
it.
simply we're providing high quality, affordable prescription eyewear for our nation's veterans. And so, each and every day, we're making a lot of eyeglasses too. So between the two optical labs that we have, we'll make over 1.5 million
What?
prescription eyeglasses every year. So, and we try to remind our people of that. Like, these glasses that we're making here, that's going to go on a veteran that, has bravely served our country here too. So it's a noble mission there. So it's kind of fun when we're bringing it back to our why always.
Okay, sir. So let's see if the Lance Corporal can play this back Marine Corps style. Essentially, you are like the Four Eyes lens crafters for the VA to provide glasses to veterans.
Essentially, we are. Yeah, we're in. We're serving probably 80% of the veteran out there in terms of the contracts that we have. We're in 40 different states. We've got 680 people working for us at PDS, and so it's impressive what they built and what I've been trying to keep going here too, at PDS.
So many questions come out of this because, I thought before we started talking that, well, the VA would just use literally Lens Crafters or Four Eyes or some other company and just sub it out. Like you do a lot of stuff and you get your glasses from them. But you're saying that's not the case. Is a veteran comes in and they go to ophthalmology, they get assessed, and that doctor says, hey, you need a prescription. And then that comes to you all and you fill that prescription.
The way it's set up, that's a
Wait,
good,
wait, wait, wait. Sorry, time out, sir. And it's done right here in the United States. Get out.
If you're, I'd love to, I offer this up too. Like, it's if you're ever in Louisville or in Fort Lauderdale, we'd love to have you at our lab. It's amazing what goes into like a pair of glasses. Like, I was blown away because each individual person's vision is unique to themselves. Differences in left eye, right eye, and so it's like we're making a custom product for each and every person that's out there too. So, what goes into it, these lenses start as sometimes like a big hockey puck, and they're ground down and finished. And so, offers out there. If you're ever in Louisville, Fort Lauderdale, love to have you out there
For
and
sure,
see
for sure.
before.
I'm just thinking of process flows, quality control aspects, scaling, because to your point, it's not like you're making the same, let's just keep the same shell casing for an M16. Every unit is different, but it still has to meet a quality standard and all that, right, sir?
Those are good points, because so what we've done is there's a lot of automation out there and in the
Really? Okay.
optical world now too. So there's the machines are, we've got a lot of calibration and automation that we're using. So both of our optical labs are fully automated. We've got, conveyor systems moving things around there too. We've got highly skilled employees there that have been in the optical industry for 20, 30 years. So all of those things there, it goes there's and we're making sure there's no breakage. There's the quality is meeting all the standards there too, which we're doing, which is great. So it's like a well-oiled machine that we've got in there, and we're always trying to get better and better each and every day, really, with investments in our people, investments in the technology out there, the equipment too. So we're always looking for ways to refine the edges and get better and better at PDS.
It's just amazing because I talked to somebody who works in surgical gloves, and almost all the gloves are made overseas. And it's surprising in a very good way that the VA is using an American company to do this. And it just proves that Americans can make something to a high standard. You talk about your leadership abilities, not only from the academic side, having your MBA, but also from your Army experience. How do you lead your people when, the orders are high and you're trying to get a, end of the quarter to keep their mind on the mission daily? Because there's no days off, there's no time off to take a break.
No, that's a good. I have a philosophy I've kind of picked up over the years. You've probably heard this before in the military too. Just mission first, people always. And so, what I mean by that is, keep the mission forefront so our people know what's their why and what we got to stay focused on. And then the people, we've got to make sure we're taking care of our people. And thankfully, we've got great people at PDS. I've got great leaders. Great director team there too that we have. So I make sure our folks know what's expected, and then our team executes. We've been doing this a long time now. We've been doing this for over 25 years, our company, we're constantly, like I mentioned, we're bringing in new people into the operation. We brought in a process improvement director last year. And like I said, we're doing well, but like that this person's role is to make us better. And so sometimes change is not always welcome, but change is, but as a leader, you need to break a few eggs there and mix things up a little bit before so you can get better. So it's
Well, talk to me about that for a second, sir. Change is constant, right? And I understand this,
absolutely.
but it's hard to make change when it's not broken, right? It's like you have a process, you have a procedure, you have a set of policies, and the outcome is right. The outcome is cost efficient, and the outcome is, in a sense, fault tolerant. It's easy to see if there's deviations there. And then it's hard to sell me on we're going to change things. I'm like, it's not broken and it's not expensive. Like, how do you have that conversation?
No, you have to make you got to get buy-in from like who's going to be, bringing that damn from top down, really. And so, yeah, maybe it's not broken today, or maybe there's things that are not fully working the way it is. But you've got to, as a company, you can't be complacent, really. So you need to be always looking for like what's around the corner there. How do we refine ourselves, make those small tweaks around the edges there to get better and better. So as long as you got your people bought in on the why, I think that's number one of like why we're making these changes there. It's really, and then from there, just kind of constantly reminding them of the why, because there is some like pushback again, like, all right, yeah, I know we're doing the change. I hear you out, but we're doing it anyway. Like,
It's just like in
because.
formation, when you're standing in formation, safety briefs and all that stuff, right, sir? Same thing over and over again. Gotcha, gotcha. So let me ask you about frames because some people want the Oakley frames or the Gucci frames or the D&G frames. You have to have somebody designing frames that look good aesthetically, right? Like, how's that work?
Yeah, good question. So the Oakley, the Gucci frames, they're more expensive typically. And so like the contracts that we set, we have those, but the contracts that we do with the VA are more, more cost effective, really. And so we have tremendous vendor partner relationships out there with big optical companies here making frames. And we'll give them feedback on like, what's popular, like what are some of the things out there. So maybe it doesn't say, Gucci on there, or it doesn't say Ralph Lauren or Ray-Ban or whatever, but like there's still, frame's a frame, really, kind of at the end of the day there. Like there is some you can tell there's some differences between like some frames that you buy maybe at like a gas station or something like that. I'm not picking on those companies that sell those, but we give feedback to our partners out there and that make frames for us. We buy their frames that here's some of the popular frames that veteran men and veteran women are buying, and we're always constantly maintaining those lines of communication with our frame vendors there to make sure that we're serving our veterans. And we'll tweak the contracts too with our VA contracting officers, and we'll say, hey, we're seeing that these frames are not as popular, and we would recommend maybe looking to put some of these frames on there and just kind of make it better for the veteran when they're going into the optical shops to the VAs there.
So everybody has competition. Do you all have a competitor in the VA space?
We
Here's the reason
do.
I'm asking that.
There's several competitors that are in this space here too. So the way that like so you know the it's very structured, the process that these contracts are issued. They'll issue out a formal solicitation with questions back and forth through the VA, and then they'll put out a bid in terms of price, and they'll look for like the best value. They'll look at experience, pricing, and then some other factors there too, whether or not you can do that. So and also a good thing is too, a lot of these contracts are set aside due to the Vets First Act of for service disabled veteran-owned small businesses, which PDS is. And so there are a couple other companies that are in this space here too. So it gets competitive.
But still, your company has been around for 25 plus years. That would lead me to believe, looking at your company before we start talking, is again, you've delivered on those contracts at a high level. The VA has a comfort level with you. And more importantly, the veterans like the product.
Absolutely. Yeah, we get we have again, we take our jobs very seriously. As a veteran, these are just not words. Like I'm proud to be serving veterans here, and we do have very good ratings on our contracts with the current contracts we have. It's very structured too, like military and government in terms of like performance. We have to deliver weekly performance metrics to them, and we're hitting all our marks there and exceeding them across the board, which is again it's a good way for us to push ourselves and show the VA that we're doing our jobs too.
We'll come back to glasses in a second. I just, while we're in the subject of competition, have you guys ever thought about, competing with the Lens Crafters or Four Eyes out in the civilian sector, or do you all do that now?
Great question. They're big. We feel like we're pretty big, but we're not,
Okay.
that's like the billion-dollar companies out there, like Essilor and Luxottica. Where I'll go with this, we're always looking at, business development opportunities within our company, right? So we do a lot with 99% of our business is with the VA. And then, so we have four other pockets of business there too. We have an e-commerce website called Lens Factory, where let's say you got those Gucci frames there, but then you're getting older and your prescription has changed. So you're getting, your vision has changed, and you send those frames into us, and we can put in your new prescription there. So that's, one of our side businesses there. We also have a safety business. So it's funny, I mentioned Louisville, Kentucky. We do a lot of the bourbon distilleries down in that area there in terms of like safety glasses for their workers. And then we have safety contracts throughout the country too, which is something we bid on. We also have a retail store, local retail store in Louisville, where you can come in and, buy glasses similar to like a Lens Crafters. And then we also do some Medicaid business there too. So those are sort of like our side businesses, but we're always looking at like, how do we kind of grow, or what are some other things that we're not doing? And those types of questions that you just asked there are things that we talk about as a leadership team.
Sure,
So we're not quite
sure.
there yet.
I want to talk about the actual lens itself because there's just a lot I don't know. Is the lens still glass? It's my understanding that some of these lenses are some type of plastic. I don't know much about them. So how's the lens process work?
So glass is really obsolete now. So it's,
Really?
yeah, it's just not a, it's not the best materials out there. So like in the 70s, 80s, there's been like, more plastic polycarbonate lenses there. It's just better for seeing, more clarity there, more durable there too. So like the lens, industry and technology has really changed there too. So it's more like plastic based, or plastic or polycarbonate products there for lenses that we use.
No, just educate me here. When we're talking about durability, is our scratches reduced with a polycarbonate? Really?
Yeah, you're Travis, you're good. You're picking up. We may be bringing you into the optical space here after this. So yes, there's a lot of scratch resistant lenses. Either come with it, or we'll put in some special coatings afterwards to make them scratch resistant. There's tons of things you could do, like AR technology there we can do, like anti-reflective, anti-glare. Those are similar terms there too. So there's a lot of different things that you can add into the lenses. Photochromic. I'm not sure if you're familiar. I'm giving you too much
No,
here.
no, no. It's fire hose time. I'm loving it.
I'm so like, me being into this like 3 and a half years as CEO, and then 5 years in the optical space now, I'm constantly pushing myself to learn too. I just recently passed my ABO, which is an exam our opticians take. So
Really?
yeah, so it was I underestimated the challenge of it. So I ended up taking it. Actually, it took me 3 times though to pass the exam. So I'm being fully honest on your podcast here, but it was
If I may, that kind of it's very interesting to me because sometimes people think the CEO is the CEO and some CEOs don't bother with it. But is that a leadership thing that you wanted to take that test and understand what your team and staff and the industry is doing? Why'd you do that? You didn't have to.
I didn't, it was a lot of time. And so it's, I like I said, I underestimated it. I jumped in thinking like, all right, I'm a pretty smart guy. I can like take the test, and did not. I bombed out the first time, with some like limited studying there. And then so the second time I studied more, and I was very close, and I just missed it. And then the third time I was good. I aced it there. But it was because, again, like our opticians are expected to have their ABO. And so we have a training program that we put our opticians through if they don't have it now. And it's just really it's good for me, like to learn, about the eye and like the manufacturing process there too. It was a very good education program there too that helped me learn a lot more too. And so, again, I've been doing this 5 years now in the role, there's still things I need to learn, and it's helpful to understand that. I guess I do have great people, like I mentioned, and I trust them to know what's going on. But as a CEO, I feel like it's important for me to have that knowledge as well too. So
Well,
I'm
it's just
trying to
this
push
theme
myself.
of you're always learning.
Absolutely.
You're never stopping learning. You're always learning. And again, some people think, well, CEOs don't have to learn. They are already at the top. But you're saying, you know what? In order to be better myself and better for my company, I had to go through this process. And yeah, it was humbling at first.
Absolutely.
I think it's a very important thing to cover.
That's a good point. I'm always trying to learn. Like, so, I joined a group, YPO, this past year, Young Presidents Organization. It's a multinational organization for presidents and CEOs to connect, talk about their companies, the challenges, the good things, and learn from each other there too. So it's been a really good network for me to just to connect in with, like-minded peers, and share, things that are going on, and learn from them, and try to bring those into my company and make ourselves better. So always trying to learn, really, is the what you said there.
So if a veteran, say in Louisville or Texas or even Alaska, working out there at Fort Wayne as a civilian contractor, needed eyeglasses with a certain ANSI safety rating, a certain kind of thickness, that glass, not glass, that plastic, the polycarbonate material could be customized to their needs right there in the VA office.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, the measurements are all taken, but then it shifts back to your lab and you can create it for that veteran.
And so, we do all the quality of the testing on those lenses there, to make sure those are ANSI standards and all that that's passing too.
And ANSI is a safety standard, right, for glasses and how? Okay, so I'm learning. I'm learning.
You are.
So
You're good.
the eyes are the windows to the soul, but the eyes have to see first. And one thing I gotta tell you, Sean, is it's not the years, it's the miles, right? It's the miles. And it's hard to admit that, I'm not seeing as well as I used to, isn't it?
That's what happens. It's as the I
No,
think
come on, sir.
45 is
Don't.
the
Why does that happen?
it's just because like the scientific it's so like you're the eye just stops like working the it starts stop stretching as much the muscles in there and as you get older so that's what causes your people to be pulling out those readers there to read the menu at or the magnifier or whatever you may
Or
use on
check
your
their cell
phone
phone and
to
use the
read the
camera to.
menu. It's just age really. It's just you can't escape it there, Travis. So I'm in the same boat. I got my glasses here too, and I was tempted to wear them for the podcast here, but so far I haven't had
We'll
to
get to
use them.
that. We'll get to that. But some veterans, one, don't like going to medical. And some, wearing eyeglasses is like, yeah, you got to admit that you're getting old. And so they'll suffer for an indeterminate length of time, right? Why should a veteran, the minute they start experiencing these symptoms, immediately seek treatment rather than suffer? I mean, it's a simple question, but there's enough of us that it's got to be asked.
It's yeah, I'm in that boat a little bit too, but I'm kind of forced because I'm in this space, so I have to. But it's like once you put them on, like you see a whole new world, really. Like when you're like, oh, you can see the leaves on a tree. So like, I would recommend if you need them, you wear them really. And so don't fight it. It's part of life there. As a veteran, you come into the VA. If you have any service connection disability, which unfortunately a lot of veterans do, just based on wear and tear on our bodies, you qualify for free eye care and free eyeglasses through the VA health system. So I'd fully recommend to be doing that there. And as you get older, you need them really, to seeing and it just help your quality of life really. So
So,
that's my pitch to you.
so I'm like, I got emphatically encouraged. I was as a stand down, and these nurses were like, "Hey, have you had your eyes checked?" I'm like, "No, why would I need to do that?" They're like, "Well, come on," and they're like, "You need glasses." I'm like, "No, I don't. No, I'm not getting glasses." So the VA got like, "Hey, when's the last time you had an eye exam?" I'm like, "It's been." I can't remember. Well, that's the wrong answer, Sean. I can't remember is not the right answer. So they evaluated my eyes, and she was a Chinese, doctor, and she's like, "Mr. Poddington, you need glasses. I take care of you." I'm like, "I don't need glasses." She's like, "Yes, you do." And so she had the ones that they kind of put on you to give an idea of what it's going to be like. And I'm like, "Oh, snap!" Because I had completely foobarred. And I can say this here. My eye test. I'm like, wait, I used to be able to read that. She's like, you need glasses. So I went out to the thing and they're like, "Well, what frames do you want?" I'm like, and take a good 5 minutes. I'm like, why do I need 5 minutes for frames? And then I found out you all have tons of them. It's not just like metal frames or black frames or whatever. There's literally, Sean, there were like thousands of them I could look at. And it's like, oh my God, I gotta wear these things and try to look cool and not admit that I'm old at the same time. So I selected a pair of tortoiseshell frames. And so, and I'm gonna put them on here in a second. These, and I'm curious, we're gonna see how involved you are in your product. These are called Tortoise Modern Slick. And
Familiar
so
with
I
those.
got them and I'm For the first time ever, I am putting them on. And wow, I mean, Sean, you look more handsome now than you did 3 seconds ago, if that's
See, there you
possible.
go. All
I mean,
right.
dang, not a wrinkle on your face. What are you doing, sir?
You look good too. You look good in those there, Travis. They may be the look now.
Right. I mean, well, this is it. And they're the ones where if I
Yeah.
look down, it's kind of like reading glasses. But if I look up
Progressives. Yeah.
and you're like in like forget 4K, forget 8K, you're like in
Yeah.
20K right now.
That's the you answered your own question there. That's why we need them, I guess. If you
Do
get
you
over
have like
there,
glasses?
yeah.
Do you wear your own product?
I've got the same exact pair right here.
Well, put them
So
on, put them on.
yeah, there we go. Right there.
Dude, look at
Progressives
that.
too. Yeah, look at us.
Yeah. Oh, this is what they're called. They're called progressives.
Yeah, so you can see, for far and then
Yeah.
near. When you kind of,
I
yeah.
look up, I see far. I look down, I see clear for reading. So these are called progressives.
Yeah, and we made those too. So you probably went to the Boston
I
or
went to the
the
Brockton VA.
Brockton VA. So that you met with one of our opticians
Yep.
there, and those came to our optical lab there, and we made those for you. Yeah.
Your company made these glasses.
We did. That's PDS's quality right there. Yeah.
Made in the United States by Americans.
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, it kind of
Yeah.
sucked in some ways, but now, and
Yeah.
I didn't have, when we first started talking about doing this, ladies and gentlemen, we've been trying to talk now for almost 7 months.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
And it's just not nothing personal, Sean. It just, we've not been synced up. But I didn't
Yeah.
have these when we started talking. And now
Oh,
I
great.
have these. It's a whole different conversation.
It is. Now you went through the experience. You've got, hopefully it was a good experience. It sounds like it has been. Yeah. And we like I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like, do you remember how long it took for you to receive those? Was it pretty quick or?
Well, I mean, you can ask me questions here. So,
Yeah.
I went in to get my eyes assessed. It was a scheduled appointment along with my
Yeah.
physical. They said, "Hey, you need glasses," and they said it'd be like 15 days. I'm like, "No
Yeah.
freaking way! You mean to say 55 days?" And
Yeah.
the doctor's like, "No, it's going to be 15 days." I got them in 10.
Yeah.
I got them in 10, shipped
Oh.
UPS to my house, right in the
Yeah.
Amazon, locker, and took them out. And she did say, "Hey, you're gonna have to wear these, get used to them. You're not gonna be used to seeing
Yeah.
so well." And Sean, she wasn't kidding. I'm like, "Oh wow, that looks pretty good." I mean, Sean, you look amazing right now. Like again, 20, we're gonna coin a new term called 20K.
20K.
Not
I like
4K, not 8K, 20K.
it.
And so veterans do amazing things after they get out of the military. Some of them, go into business, start their own nonprofits, write, read, become artists, or just go back to their families and do this. But what's it like for you on a personal level? You saw the cost of your father's service.
Yeah.
He got you involved with your uncle's company, you're right.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
now you're making something that we're about, what? I don't know if you're in Louisville, but Louisville's about 1,400 miles, 1,100 miles away from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And something half a country away is being worn right now by a veteran. And you didn't even
Yeah.
know this before we started talking.
No, it's
Does
pretty
it make the
cool.
day worth it to you?
It does, again, just standing back and like thinking about our mission, what we're doing. Like you're a veteran, you've served wherever, right? Like and done great things for our country, and millions of veterans were serving each and every year. And so like again, like just proud as a veteran to be doing that and carrying on the the tradition that my Uncle Rich Murray, my father, and our company has really started. And so it's just fun. Like I even have like a friend that had reached out to me, like who I served with in Alaska as a platoon leader in the same company. And he's like, hey, I got my, he's in Nebraska. So we have that state as well. And he's like, I got these glasses today. He sent me the picture, like really cool. Like, it's even cooler just knowing that like you and your company was a part of it just because he knows me personally and stuff like that. And it makes you proud again, like of like what our team is doing. And again, like it's just great, and another thing too is we're trying to get more involved in like just veteran organizations out there too. And so like last year or this year, actually earlier this year, we did something called Lone Eagle Honor Flight. So are you familiar with Honor Flight? I'm sure
I
you've
am,
probably heard of
yes.
it. Yeah. And so like Lone Eagle Honor Flight, just like we just sponsored an honor flight for 50 veterans all throughout the country to come to DC and just experience the all of the you know everything that goes on there with the monuments and it was just incredible. We had our employees participate as chaperone sponsors there for veterans.
Oh,
We
wow.
actually had two World War II veterans there, in the 95 plus years old. And then just like interacting with them like during the day, and then we had a dinner the night before, and just talking to all different veterans, and they're like wearing glasses, and I'm like, just curious, where'd you get those from? Like, oh, I got it from this state. And I'm like, oh, we do those too. And they're like, oh, it's great, I love it. I was able to buy additional sunglasses with our prescription for fishing. And so just hearing those stories about like all the good things that our company is doing for our veterans just makes me proud, really. So yeah.
Well, I think in a way, and this is not just, hyperbole here, in a way you encapsulate the veteran story.
Yeah.
You served, you went overseas, you went to combat, you came back, you had your transition ups and downs, and you found a way
Yeah.
to not only, keep business here in the United States, but also serve veterans. And also you're having your staff who may or may not have served also engage with veterans. I think that's part of the veteran
Yeah.
success story that I'm getting a chance to learn about here.
Yeah, absolutely. You summarized it well, Travis. Yeah, we're again extremely proud to be doing what we're doing.
Well,
We
pride,
don't take it
is
for
it really
granted.
pride? Pride, dignity, and service, PDS.
Yeah. So that's funny. Like, so just this kind of going all over this with, but like when I stepped in, we were called PDS consultants, and that doesn't really ring optical. So I was like, all right, let's rebrand. So you could see. The PDS optical with the eyeglasses, and we rebranded. That was kind of fun as a as a leadership team to kind of work through that. And then it's funny too, I was talking to our director of our lab operations in Kentucky, and I'm like, hey, do you know what the PDS stands for? And he's like, he made up something, I don't remember what it was, but I'm like, no, that's not right, and that's a problem. Like, and so it was like pride, dignity, and service. And those are three of our core values as a company there too, and that we try to instill within our employees. So just like the little things like that, like reminding of the mission, just instilling the core values within our with our employees there, and just kind of, that branding piece there, just making sure our employees know like the good things that we're doing for our veterans. And just the little things like that I've been trying to push within our organization there too. So yeah.
Well, Sean, this has been a very insightful conversation. I've learned about some of the, manufacturing technical aspects of glasses and how that all works, and then the aspect of leadership too. We talked about that and how, you got that certification because you wanted to, improve yourself, but also set the example as a CEO. And then this aspect of service back to veterans. I think it's just a very powerful part of the veteran story. And I want to thank you for coming on and talking with me. How can people connect with your company or understand what you do to,
Yeah.
introduce themselves to PDS Optical and how you all serve veterans.
Yeah. So we've got a website, www.pdsoptical.com. So you can, reach out to and check about the company there. You can find, if you're interested in connecting with me, I'm on LinkedIn. So Sean Loosen, Sean Loosen is my name. And I'm pretty good with connecting on LinkedIn. I do get some like, sure, a lot of us get a lot of marketing stuff on there just to filter through, but I try to keep up with that as well. And we're on some of the socials as well. I think we've got a Facebook PDS optical site that our marketing team manages. So those are some of the ways to get in touch with us.
Well, Sean, my promise to you is next time I got time in Fort Lauderdale and/or Louisville, I'll
Yeah.
definitely reach out to you and would love to I'd be honored to take a tour of the factory. I enjoy wearing my glasses, even though
Yeah.
part of me is like I'm trying to be cool. But no, it's certainly a game changer and improved my life. So I want to thank you for coming on and talking with me.
This has been fun, Travis. This was a great conversation here. I really enjoyed connecting with you, and that offer stands. So anytime you're down there, pop in, let me know, and we can set it up. And I just want to wish you congrats on your 10 years here coming. So this is that's exciting there. So great work for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Eva Cotti PR. Look, folks, you have the quintessential veteran story right here. I hope you learn from what Sean is doing and his experience. Made in America, right here on my face, on his face. We're matching right now.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much. This is Travis with Oscar Mike Radio, and we are. Mission in Flight. We'll see you next time.
The biggest fear Gold Star families have that their child will be forgotten.
We need to never forget freedom wasn't free.
It's the fact that they give us the life we have now. We should remember them and like give thanks to them.
If I can be a part of something today that's going to make the surviving family of any of these veterans, these heroes, feel better tomorrow, then it's worth it.
That one wreath symbolizes one family that was able to smile because of the generous donations.
To sponsor a wreath and honor a veteran, visit wreathsacrossamerica.org.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinista One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.